Most of the research on preventing suicide for veterans is focused on folks who live in the cities. What about rural South Dakotans? You're listening to SDPB's In the Moment. I'm your host, Lori Walsh. Community Action for Veterans has been awarded nearly $350,000 in grant money from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Jill Baker is executive director. She stopped by our studios in Sioux Falls for an update on the nonprofit and how it is growing.
Yeah, we've really moved into this growth stage. It's been planned for a long time, just taking these slow steps towards, helping veterans, service members, and their families move towards having more support in their communities. So,
what does the move to the Discovery District in Sioux Falls at the USD Discovery District do for your organization?
Well, it really allows us to start collaborating more with our partners and then to also provide direct services to veterans and their families. We recently were awarded a Staff Sergeant Fox Suicide Prevention Grant, which allows us to work with veterans that are at risk of suicide and provide them with that long-term kind of case management.
I want to talk about that because I was looking up who Staff Sergeant Parker Gordon Fox was, is in the world, died at 25 years old. Mm-hmm. And lived a life of service and helping others. Tell me a little bit about the grant through the VA and the kind of community partners that the VA was hoping to work with. How did you first, apply for this? And then we'll talk a little bit about the goals in South Dakota.
I think the biggest takeaway from the family who really advocated to have the VA support veterans who are at risk was having more resources in the community and acknowledging that the VA can't do it all, that they really do need to work with community partners. So how do they do that? And they have different ways. There's different ways in which CAV has worked with the VA, for instance, through their Veterans Experience Office as a community veterans engagement board. Mm-hmm. But this is a very different focus, and we're allowed now through the Staff Sergeant Fox grant to provide some direct services that do warm handoffs, not just to our community partners, but also to the VA and mental health services at the VA.
What's the need in South Dakota, particularly in rural South Dakota?
A lot of the barriers for veterans in rural areas are that social isolation, being further away from services, VA services. Transportation is a big one. You think about weather, just technology. And so how can we better serve veterans in their communities? And I think that part of this grant is going to, we hired two staff. Mm-hmm. One of them is a care coordinator. So her name is Mandy Harris, and she'll be working directly with the veterans. And then we have an outreach coordinator that works with the community partners here in Sioux Falls, but yes, greater Sioux Falls area and into rural communities. I like to think of it as the I-29 corridor. That's kind of our first, maybe a second year step. Really just want to figure out what are our processes and how are we going to serve veterans the best as we do this outreach.
So tell me a little bit about some of the entry points then, if somebody is living in one of those counties, maybe outside or in the city of Sioux Falls, but especially in those rural counties, how are they connecting with services?
So they're connecting in different ways. A lot of times you'll have a county veteran service officer that will work with those veterans, or they might travel long distances to work with the VA in maybe Fargo is one if you go up north, and then Sioux Falls. And then, of course, there's also Sioux City. So I guess it kind of, and I'm just talking about the east side of the state. So West River is different than the resources here. So we're just really looking at what is available first off with the VA. So that we're learning about this. So that's part of this outreach, is also finding who in the community is doing this work already and partnering with the VA. And if they're not partnering with the VA and aren't serving veterans, to really bring awareness to these referral pathways that get veterans into VA care sooner rather than later.
How important is peer-to-peer support in your experience with, that community and that one-on-one peer-to-peer support for veterans?
Well, should we talk about you and me as two women veterans?
Veteran buddies for a while.
You think about the relationship that you and I have established and how we have, which is, yes, connecting as women, but also having that military experience together and as women just has really helped you and me kind of have a place to start and to talk in a safe space and a common space in which to, you know, feel like you could trust someone and chat with them. And so when you think about that kind of relationship, how can CAV bring other veterans together in their local communities and provide them with the kind of support to help them stay together and do things that they think are impactful for them that also connect them to benefits?
Yeah, connecting to your benefits, connecting to other people who might have some similar experiences that you can call or text or reach out to in a variety of different ways, and then working on services and as problems come up, finding those connections. Yeah.
You know, and I have to say a caveat, too, is that our approach to serving veterans isn't just veteran-focused, it's family-focused.
Yeah.
So we strongly believe that supporting the family supports the veteran.
Yeah.
So we really look at how can we also support families, their kids, and how do we provide that wraparound care to all of them?
Yeah, that can be a really impactful shift in framing.
Yeah,
for a lot of people. I was watching a little informational video from VA about the Staff Sergeant Fox program, and they were really talking about empowerment of voice and power of choice and the power of with instead of the power over. And I thought that reminded me of you and the work that you do. Sometimes that empowerment is a big, not ever looking at veterans as broken people who need, you know, rescuing, but empowering. These are people who've accomplished a lot in their lives, typically, and you want to empower them to continue to step into the leadership roles that they have. And a mental health crisis can get in the way of that, get in the way of serving your community.
It absolutely can. And so the Staff Sergeant Fox grant is really how can we get as upstream as possible in suicide prevention so that if they are, they talk about resiliency. So the Fox grant is also built around resiliency. So you talk about risk factors and protective factors. And so how can we, as an organization and as a community, make sure that we are finding ways to interact and find accessible ways to interact with them? And I don't mean physical, just physical. Also those, you know, how do you break through veteran brain? I don't know how else to say it, but how
but
do
it's
you
it's okay
kind
to
of,
ask for help, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, we don't have to do it alone, but we do anyway, right?
Some of
but
those
we
mental,
don't have to.
Some of those well-worn mental obstacles.
Yeah, getting as upstream as possible and then providing them with those types of the supports or benefits or if it's community needs that they have that we can help fulfill that, provide those warm introductions so that when you talk about empowerment, so that they can feel empowered to just breathe and think about what's next past, you know, you think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, getting past those basic needs so they can start moving up and thinking about education and thinking about jobs and starting families and, you know, all of those things.
Yeah. You also do a lot of work with women veterans and you have an upcoming conference or upcoming training opportunities.
We have.
Tell us what's on the horizon.
In the past 4 years, it's been called the Stand Up for Women Veterans Retreat. And we've kind of rebranded it to go with our Vet Connect SD, which is our statewide initiative to reach veterans. So it's Women Vets Connect. Yeah. But one thing that's come out of what we've learned, because we survey them every year, what do you want? What are the needs? Is military partners. Really, how do we reach out to the loved ones of service members while they're deployed and getting supporting that group, because isolation, yes, they're living in our communities. So when I say they, on this side of the state, we have a lot of guard units, reserve units. Yeah. We don't have an active duty base like, you know, Rapid City and Ellsworth. So when they have their partners deployed, a lot of people maybe don't even realize that that kid sitting next to their kid in school has a parent who's serving overseas in war or an engagement or however we're calling that.
Or transitioning back from a deployment and trying to process reintegrating into that student's life.
Right.
Yeah. So. And that's something that people have really talked about needing and wanting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Interesting. What are some other things that you're excited about with CAV coming up?
I am really excited about being in the Discovery District. So the USD Discovery District and the building that we're in, they're developing like a research park out there.
Yeah.
And it's really built around collaboration, helping incubator businesses kind of take off, get connected, and things of that nature. So we moved into that space because as a veteran-serving organization doing the work we do, we want to collaborate within a space where we can truly start talking about how can we all solve this problem together of the isolation and bringing veterans to the table and their families.
Yeah. So this is about innovation,
mm-hmm.
and it's hyper-local in the sense that what works in rural Minnesota might, there could be some crossover in applications, but there might be really unique things in rural South Dakota.
Absolutely. And a lot of the things that I've learned through the years that are considered best practices have been developed in more urban type areas. And they're just really hard to implement in a state like ours, in a frontier rural state. The more rural you get, the more frontier you get, the harder it is to implement and close those gaps in services with programming based out of urban environments.
Yeah. You know, we are at war. We are a nation in conflict now. And that brings up a lot of stuff for veterans, for our Gulf War veterans, for our Afghanistan and Iraq veterans. They might have thoughts, opinions, memories. When do you know it's time to reach out to somebody and say, like, hey, there's something going on and I want to talk about it?
I was recently talking with a veteran who said that recent conflicts are causing the dreams and just the brain kind of switching off and bringing them back to the previous deployments. And I think that there's a lot of veterans that are feeling that. And so we're really hoping, we're not quite ready to offer these kind of services. So I would say to any veteran, find someone that you feel safe talking with, call 211. Okay. If you feel like you don't think the world is better off with you here, I would call 988, touch one, dial one to talk to the suicide crisis hotline because you're not in this alone. And it is bringing up a lot for a lot of veterans. Yeah. And for me, I can't help but thinking about the family members that are here and when our service members come back from deployment, they're going to need us. And so it gives us a reason and a purpose to keep moving forward as our mission, developing communities of care for veterans and military families.
Yeah.
To just stay the course.
Yeah. Jill Baker leads Community Action for Veterans. The Women Vets Connect Wellness Retreat is Saturday, April 11th. That's at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Sioux Falls. We've got a link for tickets up on our website at sdpb.org/inthemoment. And that is our conversation for today. We hope that it served you from all of us here at SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening.